This week on the Hudson Valley Disc Golf Podcast, Jason issues a challenge.
Hey, since we're doing head-to-head, Kenji, you want to play for tags? It's top 10 first tracks.
Nice. Okay, good. Yeah, I'm down.
Will Kenji defend the TD? Kenji and Jason. I'm starting to think I chose the wrong disc cappers for the podcast. Who's the Nick and Matt? Who is this Nick and Matt show that Jeff Wychowski's posting everywhere? Jack just wants a...
Disc cap tag update.
And Ryan Nelson. All this and more this week on the Hudson Valley Disc Golf Podcast.
I want to rock it down to Energetic Boulevard.
Welcome to the Hudson Valley Disc Golf Podcast, tied for third longest name among disc golf podcasts. My name's Pat Keenan, and I haven't touched a disc in a week. We'll start with Jack, because he's got a bad foot, and this way at least he gets the box once.
Whoa.
How are you doing? How's your foot? How's things going?
I don't know. Things are the same. Like I keep telling you, I got bigger problems than my foot.
Well, you got to walk before you can run, and literally you got to walk.
Yeah. You know. How long do I get to lie on the couch?
Anything else exciting this week?
We're working on some stuff. I'm working with Andy Romansky, who she's been doing some work with decals, and we've been looking to flip the colors of the layout at FDR. Mm-hmm. And we're not ready to buy new signs for the entire course. But when we flip the layout, you know, the colors are going to be wrong. So Andy's working on some decals that will go over the existing sort of basket icons that are on the hole maps, so that we can swap the colors there. And we've gotten, some up-to-date measurements on the course. We have screwed with a few pin positions over the course of the last year and a half. And so there's a couple signs that the distances are wrong. So anyway, what Andy's doing is going to let us flip the course and do an update on the existing sign via these decals that she's printing up.
I know you haven't introduced me yet, but I want to interrupt because we went through this experience. Players like to pick the stickers. It is so annoying. We did the same thing. Like, we changed the numbers at J Park, and I bought nice high quality like vinyl stickers to go over the numbers, just because everything else on the T sign is good. But when we change the layout, the numbers changed.
Right.
And then so many of them got picked at. I have to wind up buying stickers because
there's no way around that. So it's definitely a temporary measure. You know, also the main thing that prevents us from just doing new signs at the same time is that we're also doing we're replacing all of the tees with paver tees, hopefully this year. And I don't want, you know, in case a tee can't go exactly where it was, you know, and we lose 5 feet or we gain 10 feet, I don't want to make those new signs until those tees are in the ground.
Yeah. Ours is, how long have we been working on the J Park change project? It's been like 3 years, right? More?
Yeah. Actually, I have to find a fundraiser disc. It's on that. But it's been a few years. Yeah. And I think we were hoping to get it completed.
Right. Sure. And I think we're now at a point where we could buy new signs, finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a point I hadn't considered, but it's not going to change what we're going to do. It's, it's not an expensive fix.
No, we do the same thing. It works. If it works great if people don't mess with it.
Yeah.
Like the ones that weren't touched are still there and fine.
right. Nobody tries to pick that off.
Right.
My kids can't be anywhere. If anything gives the slightest sense that it can be picked away from where it belongs, my kids run. I'm sitting in a chair now that had two nice sort of foam padded armrests on either side, and I am currently just feeling all the divots because once they detected a structural failure in any of the foam,
pick little pieces.
Away. Yeah, it's crazy. And now I have to kill them.
Jack, what's going to be the final color scheme for the baskets?
Well, I mean, we started this initiative almost a year ago now. We had a few holes that would, I would say, were inverted. where the yellow layout, which has traditionally been our shorter layout, has had a longer hole in it. There were three places on the course where that occurred. And a little while ago, we decided to have all the short holes in the short course and all the long holes in the long course.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can explain it philosophically. When, you know, when we added the second layout, it, you know, we had options what we could have done with it. We could have made it a red layout. We could have made it a white layout. We could have, at that time, for all we knew, we could have, you know, made a gold layout. The fact is, FDR won't support a gold layout. But what we decided was, basically, because of the makeup of the club, we wanted two blue layouts. We wanted a, you know, an easier blue layout and a harder blue layout. And that was the reason why you saw some of the longer positions in the short.
Right, right. They're both two intermediate level courses, not a beginner and an intermediate.
Right. But that was a failed experiment. And it turned out what we had really done for the most part is we created a white course and a blue course. So the shorter course, as it turned out, when, you know, once we aligned it, is lines up pretty well with what the PDGA, you know, lengthwise calls a white course, white tees. So the white baskets will be part of the white course, which will be our shorter set of tees. And the yellow baskets will be the longer layout. It's I would say it's a high-level blue layout. I think we're going to start calling it gold.
Even though it's not truly gold level, but right, right.
No, it's not really gold level. It's just we have a white. We're going to say we have a white and a gold. And the main reason for it is, you know, when Chuck Kennedy came in and saw the course over the summer, he just eyeballed it and said, okay, so you got a white layout and you got a gold layout. Just from looking at the baskets is what he said. John Howe came and saw the course and he said the same exact thing. And I'm like, if this is what these guys are saying, maybe that's what we should be saying. And so I think we're probably going to change just the nomenclature on the yellow course and we're going to start calling them gold. So it's going to be white and gold. White will be the short course, gold will be the long course.
Thanks.
But, and you still have plans to do the front nine. I thought you were going for a red, white, and blue maybe. With
the- So the front nine is also getting a set of red tees. So this is they'll be playing from a different set of tees.
Yeah.
And that will be a red course, red level
to
course.
To like the white baskets.
I think what we've decided – so right now –
you could probably get another white layout on that if you play red tees to your gold baskets.
Yeah. It's, so the problem there is, Kenji, not every not every hole facilitates two good holes from that tee, you know, from that red tee.
Right.
But in some places it does. And in fact, on
if
some
I can
of
influence that, y'all, you all, well, it sounds like it already, but you're thinking that when you can.
Right. So when we first designed the course, in fact, the yellow baskets were in miserable condition and the white baskets had just been put in. And so our original design for that course, you know, which we flagged, and then that's about it, all played to the whites basically because we didn't want to drag new players to these horror shows of baskets that were out there. Now all of the baskets on the course are pretty new. They're all good looking. And the thought is that gives us a little bit of design latitude when we lay down these red tees. And so to design the best possible holes, we're actually going to flag the red layout with red flags. So you could be playing to a white basket on one hole and a gold basket on the next hole, but the basket that you're playing for that layout will have a red flag.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Red tees to a red flag.
That makes sense.
Awesome. So Jason, have you played around since we last spoke?
No.
No?
No.
I would have guessed you would have.
I did.
Sorry,
I did do a few putts. Today I was at a desk all day, so I went outside and did like three putts, missed them all, and then went back inside.
That is really sad. It sounds sad, and you sound sad.
All right. Well, we have a job to do, gentlemen. And last but not least,
oh, El Presidente,
Mr. President Kenji Klein.
The president hasn't played a round since. First tracks.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have this bathroom torn apart downstairs that I'm really struggling with because whoever built this addition did not do anything right. So I'm like down to everything, tearing it apart and figuring out how can I add in venting when there was no venting and all this. So it's been a bit of a struggle. Those have been my weekends.
All right. Well, we're going to try again for 18 holes this week. The plan was to have Ryan, so we might have to adjust a couple of the holes. And now you guys are going to go head to head. Other than that, we'll go ahead and start. Jack, you get the first hole.
No golf, no golf, no golf. Hole one.
Hole one this week is a quiz.
Ooh, I like that.
Jason, I got a bonus question for you. This is worth a point. True or false? Hydrogen is the name of a legal PDGA disc.
Hmm. Well, there's that element company, but it doesn't sound like a disc. I'm going to say false.
December 31st,
oh my 2020, God.
By Loft Discs. It's L O, like with the line through it, F T Discs.
You're the worst.
Hydrogen. I just had to look it up after last week. So,
okay.
Hey, just approved right, of what, 30 days ago?
Do they make it in proton plastic?
I don't know. Okay. All right, so we'll do 9 questions for this. Who picked? Jack, you go first. Let me just write this down. I swear I made an actual score sheet this week.
You read any questions? Or?
Yeah, just give me a second. Rassum.
Did he just sassafras me?
I think so. Yosemite Sam.
Then we'll go, yeah, we'll go alphabetical. Jason Kench. All right, here we go. Hole one. The category is disc or no disc 2021. You'll be answering trivia questions whose answers may or may not be the name of a disc approved by the PDGA this year. So since January 1st. All right.
So like a destroyer wouldn't count.
No. And okay. None of these. Yeah. These are either they were made.
They were either just this year. Yeah.
Or there never been a disc.
Okay.
Okay. So I didn't want to do that kind of stuff. Well, technically that came out on the 30, you know, now.
They can't answer hydrogen.
Exactly. All right. Question one. This is for Jack. During courtship, certain varieties of what bird can beat their wings 200 times per second?
Is it the hummingbird?
Is the hummingbird a disc?
Absolutely, without a doubt. Yes, I know it for a fact. The hummingbird is a disc.
Wild Discs, January 19th, 2021. It was approved.
Yeah, wow. Nice. I had no idea.
So confident.
Why not be?
Like, he sounds like he's got one in his bag.
I was like, did he get one before it was approved?
I'm flipping the prototype between my fingers right now.
All right, Jason, second question. In 1911, Antarctic explorer George Levick noted behavior in what birds so bizarre it wasn't published for a century. In 1911, Antarctic explorer George Levick noted behavior in what birds so bizarre it wasn't published for a century.
The penguin?
Is the penguin a disc?
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
Oh, man. 0-2.
Penguin. Ridiculous.
Kenji, question 3. The black-footed species of what member of the weasel family is endangered, while a domesticated type is a popular pet? So the black-footed species of what member of the weasel family is endangered, while a domesticated type is a popular pet?
Is it the ferret?
Is the ferret a disc?
I'm going to stick with it. Yes, it's a disc.
No, it is not.
No. Jack's the only one that got lucky with damn hummingbird. Oh, my God.
All right.
All I had to do was say yes.
Well, no, you were very, very positive. You almost made me would have changed my answer.
Yeah, I mean, you're confident. That could be why.
Question 4, Jack. What mammal, the male of which may sport a 10-foot-long tusk, is sometimes called the unicorn of the sea? What mammal, the male of which may sport a 10-foot-long tusk, is sometimes called the unicorn of the sea?
It's a narwhal. Narwhal? Narwhal?
I say narwhal, but yeah, either or. Is the narwhal a disc?
I'm from Boston. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. 100%.
Divergent discs, January 4th.
It just has to be positive.
The power of positive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, question 5. From the Greek for wandering about to find pasture, what word for one who migrates with the seasons was also the name of a robotic Earth rover?
One more time.
Certainly. From the Greek for wandering about to find pasture, what word for one who migrates with the seasons was also the name of a robotic Earth rover?
I have no idea.
All right. Kenji, do you have a guess?
I don't know any of those.
Do you know any of the names of our Earth rover?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think. That would be maybe something I've heard. And I can't recall like what the Mars rover was called, or Earth or Moon. Was there a Moon rover? I don't know. No, I don't know.
All right. Jack, do you have a guess?
Is it Nomad?
Is the Nomad a disc?
Yes.
Full turn discs, January
9th. Oh my God!
Oh my.
Jack is killing it. Oh my
God. You know, I didn't answer with the greatest deal of positivity.
It was enough. That disc is so new. I did research. I don't even know what it was. I know the narwhal's a putter. I have no idea, and so is the hummingbird, but it doesn't even say what it is.
I feel like the Nomad is a highly understable disc that you throw once and never get back.
That'd be fitting, right?
And then somebody finds it, brings it to another course, and does the same thing.
Right, and then all of a sudden, you're getting a call from a Kansas area code.
All right. Question 6 is to Kenji. In Douglas, Wyoming, there's a 10-foot statue of what legendary animal that looks like a jackrabbit with antlers?
A jackalope.
Is the jackalope a disc?
Staying positive. Yes, it is, Pat.
Mini discs.
Yeah.
January 19, 2021.
It just takes a little positivity.
Actually, Brian Heller, he sent me a picture of that. He's like, you know, disc or no disc.
Yeah, you got to be.
All right. Question 7. This goes back to Jack. Ford model cars have included the excursion, as well as what type of excursion done for exploration. Ford car models have included the excursion, as well as what type of excursion done for exploration.
So it's a particular model of excursion. Excursion.
That is also a type of excursion done for exploration.
Okay. Pass.
Nothing?
I got nothing.
You could say Mustang even.
I'm going to say Corvette.
Oh, good guess.
Thanks.
Jason.
Expedition?
Is the Expedition a disc?
Of course it is.
Full turn discs.
Right. It worked, Jack.
All right. Now, right to Jason again. This is question 8. For question 8, I'm going to read 3 words. 2 of them are PDGA legal discs this year. 1 of them is Klingon for a substance bad when it rots. Your job is to tell me which of these is Klingon. All right?
All right.
Your choices are Forshak, Orsus, Skegox. I'll read the question and the question 8. I will read 3 words. 2 of them are PDGA legal discs this year. 1 of them is Klingon for a substance which smells bad when it rots. Your job is to tell me which of these is Klingon. Is it Forshak, Orsus, or Skegox?
I'm going to go with the last one. No, I got to tell you the Klingon?
Yeah, the one that's, which one is Klingon? 2 of them are actual discs.
And can you say one more time? Forshak?
Sure. Forshak, Orsus, and Skegox. It's Skegox, if you and Forshak and Orsus for spelling purposes.
Okay. I'm going to go with the last one for Klingon.
Skegox?
Skegox.
That is a disc golf. Forshak. Forshak is Klingon for a substance which smells bad when it rots.
Okay. All right. What company makes the Skegox?
Dang it. This, on this sheet, I didn't have it. I'll tell you in 2 seconds.
Klingon discs.
A couple seconds. Nordisk. Nordisk. Actually, since the last time I checked this, there's a new disc out. Cool.
Is it the Forshak?
I didn't realize how much the PDGA disc thing gets updated.
Well, it was only twice this year. So, this will be the 3rd update. So, yeah, you're right. That's a lot. Okay, final question. This is for Jack. No, I'm sorry. This is for me, Kenji. Right?
Yeah.
Question 9. For the ancient Olympic Games, the Hellenodokai were folks chosen to do what? Which is what Hellenodokai means. For the ancient Olympic Games, the Hellenodokai were folks chosen to do what? Which is what Hellenodokai means. So what were these people chosen to do for the ancient Olympic Games?
Flag bearers.
Final answer?
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Jack, would you like to take a guess?
I happen to know this one. The Hellenodokai were people who were assigned to the athletes to tell all of the female fans, all of whom were named Helen, right? It's sort of like a like a Karen thing. They were like, and they were designed to sort of say no to the groupies of the athletes. Like, no Dekai, which means you're not getting
laid. They're bouncers.
Right, exactly.
Helen, no Dekai.
Right, yeah. Helen, no Dekai. Right.
Jason, do you have a guess?
They light the torch?
They were judges.
Oh.
They were judges. And the EMAC judge came out January 5th, 2021. All right. Scores right now, Jack 6, Jason 3, Kenji 3. So Jack is...
It's doubles, right? Jack just Cali because Ryan didn't show.
That's right.
We're tied.
I would like a Cali guess.
Yeah, he would get a Cali guess. All right. Get the papers. Jason, what hole would you like to play? Hole one has been played.
Do we do the front nine?
Well, the whole thing.
Okay, let's start on the back nine. Ten. Hey, since we're doing head-to-head, Kenji, you want to play for tags?
Sure. <Ooh. laughs> What tag do?
Yeah. Whatever one you have for me. I don't
That's awesome.
It's top 10 first
yeah.
tracks.
Oh, nice. Okay, one. Good. Yeah, I'm down.
Bye-bye.
Hole 10. Did you watch the Super Bowl last night, Jason?
No.
Kenji?
Yes.
All right. What about you, Jack?
No.
All right, back to Kenji. what are your thoughts? Just
it was okay. I mean, it was a bit of a blowout. I wish it would have been closer because I don't really follow football, so I like to just see a closer, more exciting game. I'm glad Brady got another one. That just shows that he's an amazing quarterback, and all the people who talk about him, he's the best. It was good. I liked it.
Two things I took away. One was that it was actually kind of fun to root for Brady because I was, now that he's out of New England, I don't, wish him well. Once the Giants were out, of course, in week two.
Yeah, see, I don't follow any football team, so it's good. And I wish it would have been closer because Mahomes is supposed to be the greatest quarterback
that was the
now.
Thing, though. One, it was kind of a bummer. He had turf toe. And right. So that's very painful. And I think he would have been fine, but they just kept hitting him. And I think it re-aggravated it. You know what I'm right. saying? Like his offensive
and
line.
He did some amazing throws as he's diving away from tackles and put it right close enough to be caught. And the receivers weren't holding the ball. There was some amazing save shots like that. And they never got caught.
You could tell he was running different after that. Like, the first quarter he ran, he had a couple first down runs. After that, he was running for his life.
Right.
But I also think it was impressive to watch that defense be that dominant. I thought
he definitely got
to hold him to 9 points. It's like it's the first time he's ever lost in the National Football League by double digits. It was in the Super Bowl. I mean,
right? I heard that.
That's crazy.
And that said, the Super Bowl is an interesting game for this reason. It's it's a season's worth of data. And
right.
mm-hmm. and good tacticians can turn that into a good performance. Not always. And sometimes what you decide to hammer on isn't enough because something else slips through and beats you. But that seems to be the story last night. They figured out what they wanted to do as a defense, and they shut the whole thing down as a result of that.
Yeah.
I think I stuck with it more longer than I should have because I had the Chiefs had 9 and 2 of my boxes and my Super Bowl squares had Chiefs with 9. So just hoping that some way the Tampa Bay would get the other number for me.
I hate Belichick. So the better Tom Brady does, the more it discredits Belichick. So I was happy to see that.
Yeah.
As a Giants fan, neither Patriots nor Brady works on us. So I don't care much other than that.
Yeah. All right. Kenji, what hole are we playing?
Hole 6.
Okay. Actually, I wish this is actually something we were talking about before we hit record. But how many unforced errors would you say you make in a competitive round?
How many unforced errors do I make when I'm playing disc golf? I'm under 900 rated, right? Quite a few boneheaded moves. I tend to early release sometimes and I low putt a lot, which is really annoying because no matter what distance I'm always right on line. 2 inches low is my most common miss, and it's so annoying.
I'm more talking about putting yourself in situations where you should maybe you throw it, you're 10 foot short on your approach, so now you've given yourself a 25, 30 footer. Just stuff like that to make it makes it harder on yourself.
That's my game, Pat. Yeah, mine too. Me, you, and Jack are all about the same spot. How least to, you know, F up can we do?
Jason,
there you go. Talk to the pro.
When you go into a tournament, what are you thinking?
I'm usually thinking that I'm always going to miss two putts inside the circle.
Okay.
And that's just like a mental thing for me that way the first two I miss, I don't feel bad. And then after that, I just kick myself. But other than that, as far as like strategy, if I throw it short or I come up short, I don't consider it an error. I just kind of move on, and it's part of golf. I guess the errors are kind of subjective.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just, I always think of it like, why put the extra pressure on myself? But I guess that's what you're saying. You're just saying, don't even worry about that.
Yeah. I'll just take the good shots, and then everything else, just figure out my next shot after. So if I throw it short, I got to figure out how I'm going to make a longer putt.
What I'll do is, you know, I'll try to make the putt. And if I miss, I just miss incredibly badly. So I'm looking at the same shot coming back. So what I'll do instead is I won't try as hard, and I'll lay it up, and I'll end up taking the four. And, you know, I'm just, I get so mental. All right. I don't know. Let's not talk. It's depressing. Let's move on. Let's go back to Jack. Jack, pick a hole.
Pat cry. Seven. Hole seven. It's lucky. Fun.
All right.
Smile, Pat.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. All right. Question seven. Actually, I had, does anybody have any questions about like the podcast? Nobody's ever complained, which is good, but you know, I don't get a lot of questions, technical questions. I was just wondering if anybody had any.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's your setup? Are you using like a USB mic into a laptop?
It's into a PC.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. And a Zencaster. And
right. And then what are you editing with?
Audacity.
Does Audacity have functionality to like go in? Do you immediately go in and like have Audacity delete the silence in the recording?
I truncate silence. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then do you do any processing on the actual audio file? Do you put compression on it or?
Yeah. Slight.
Yep.
I mean, I probably don't know any of the settings, the proper ones, but I probably watched something on YouTube when I first started and it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean to put compression on it?
Jack would know better than I do.
Yeah. So visually for you, like if you look at this wave file that's being generated as we speak, like.
Right. This is kind of like push it together. I understand truncating the silence.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It goes across the entire spectrum, and it will it sort of flattens, normalizes the audio.
Okay, so it kind of pushes it more towards the middle to volume instead of if somebody screamed or something like that, kind of pushes it down a little bit.
Right, and that's I'm sort of using just a
I'm very lame in an audio file stuff.
Right,
don't go too in depth.
It makes everybody, you know, it a simple compression plugin that you run across that entire audio recording. It's going to make everybody sound better and warmer, less static.
Gives a little bass to it, right? Too
a little bass, cuts out some of the shrilly stuff.
Gotcha.
It might eliminate pops and clicks.
But I do go through and, like, for example, somebody might be using a mute and you can hear kind of a click. Mm-hmm. I do go through. Myself, I don't do there's some things that where you can just do the whole thing and scrub it and kind of clean out the background. I go through and I do the individual. I do a lot.
Do you have to listen to each individual track like of us? And
oh yeah.
Yeah. He listens to it all.
Yeah. I listen to the whole thing probably about five times.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Wow. What I do is, yeah. And the thing is I'll go through it once very deep, like trying to just clean it, make it sound good. And I won't, obvious stuff I'll edit out, but like I won't even really edit it the first time. It's just kind of by ear. I'm just making sure everything sounds clean.
Right.
The second time through will be a real edit.
Where you're taking stuff that doesn't make sense. So, right.
But sometimes that what you're saying at the same time is important.
Right. So you gotta separate it.
So I'll separate it. Or I'll remove one if they were just repeating something. Or, you know, it's tedious, but it's
We're talking to talk over each other, or
I try to clean it out.
If you're conscious enough to know what you actually said when you go back and listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I do notice sometimes.
Right, you'll see that there's a lot.
It's weird sometimes when he jumps around.
Kenji, question five: bounce about. Bounce about.
Jump around. Right? This is 80s trivia with the House of Pain trivia you have in your podcast, yeah. Jack.
Yep.
Right.
Like, you had a couple episodes a while ago where I think it was like two different recordings, and I was like, what didn't we? It was weird to remember listening to it and to remember having the conversations.
You're getting cut together to tell a story.
Yes, exactly.
Any other questions? All right. I don't know. Who's up? That was Jack. So, Jason, what hole?
Let's go with 12.
Hole 12. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Hole 12. Which athlete in any sport is the greatest of this generation?
This generation. So
yes, in any sport. Yeah. Which athlete in any sport is the greatest of this generation?
Whose generation?
This one. The one we're in.
So like
currently playing.
Oh, currently playing. So not like through my lifetime.
No. No. In the last, maybe they're ending their career or they're just beginning their career. You can pick whichever you prefer, but they would be actively playing right now. Yeah. Or maybe somebody who recently retired would work.
And you asked the wrong guy, Pat.
any sport?
You can't say Wayne Gretzky.
You can say Wayne Gretzky.
He's how long ago did he retire?
Could I say?
No, I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, you can't say Wayne Gretzky. I don't know what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, because I was originally thinking like Michael Jordan, but.
Right, well, yeah. No, that would be like an all-time great. But like he was the greatest of his generation. And Wayne Gretzky, I don't know. I guess Jordan was probably greater as far as their same generation. But it's really just an opinion.
I pretty much only follow disc golf, so.
Yeah. Jack, are you a sports guy? I'm not really a sports guy. You didn't even watch the Super Bowl. I'm the only one that watched the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Kenji's our sports expert tonight, so.
Doesn't follow any football or.
It's just interesting that that's true. I find a lot of disc golfers aren't particular. I mean, there are plenty that are into sports, but yeah.
Okay. I don't mind any sports. I mean, but I don't actively follow anything. Mostly, I know what's going on semi in football. That's about it. Just like big news, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys are getting all the good holes done. what was that? It was 12. All right. Was that Jason? So we're up to Kenji?
Let's go hole three.
Hole three. All right. Kenji and Jason. Kenji and Jason. I'm starting to think I chose the wrong disc cappers for the podcast. Who's the Nick and Matt? Who is this Nick and Matt show that Jeff Wychowski is posting everywhere?
He's I don't know why he's. Nick, I mean, I love the Nick and Matt show, but like he's like obsessively puts them all.
Is he related to them?
I think at least 30 different disc golf groups.
Yes, yeah, right. Yeah. And I get 30 notifications because I belong to 30 different.
Yes, me too.
And I only need one.
Right. They're live on Thursdays. I listen in when I can, but I usually listen to them after the like a podcast. Not
what? Yeah, I was going to say what is. I don't know anything about it. So what are they?
So Nick and Matt are two like Maple Hill guy or that area, you know, Central Mass guys. Matt Graham runs Kids Disc Golf. So if you ever seen the whole Kids Disc Golf, there's a whole New England thing, Kids Disc Golf, and they send kids to Junior Worlds and. Yeah, this whole series, and he runs that. And then Nick is an up-and-coming pro. He's friends with Paul and Hannah. They're both friends with good friends with Hannah McBeth because she's from that same area. So I think Nick just moved down or is about to move down to Virginia in the area where Paul McBeth is at. It's just it's a podcast. It's good listen. Lots of good guests. Nick and Matt Show. Check it out.
That's pretty cool.
Cross podcast. Give him a shout-out.
No, absolutely.
But I don't know why, Jeff obsessively. No. Yeah, I think I get like 30 notifications, but you're not lying. There's so many.
I feel like, and I mean, I don't know what the solution is because I do think it's a good product. They had good things to say about. I was interested. All last week on other people's take about the match play final.
Yeah, they had a good podcast. Their last one was with the match, but they had Nick. Was it Nick Heinhold? Nick, what's the guy's name?
I can't remember.
Nate Heinhold.
I think all I want is to see fewer than 30 promotions for it from Jeff.
Yeah, yeah, you have to ask Jeff.
I think that's my only complaint with that podcast.
You have to ask Jeff why he shares that all over the place. I don't know.
It's not like they're not Innova.
Right. Jason, have you listened?
Yes. Kind of went in and out of it a few times, and it's definitely seems really professionally put together. They have good guests on there. I've seen Simon on there a few times. And, nice. Yeah, same thing though. I check my phone and I'm like, what the hell happened on Facebook? And
Jeff,
I open it up.
What are you doing?
A list of Jeff.
Did the space shuttle blow up?
Who picked that? Jack?
No, I picked that, right? That was hole 3.
Okay. So it is to Jack.
We're back to me. Let's take hole 13.
All right. This is my, what do you guys want to talk about hole? And you, does anybody have anything they would like to talk about?
Not a whole lot's happened in the last week. I don't know.
I got some. Didn't the Blatnik Breeze just sell out in like less than 2 minutes?
The Blatnik Breeze sold out in 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Jesus.
Wow. Yeah.
So
we're just well and truly starved.
I mean, we did. We opened up registration early for the women. So we allowed the women to sign up like 3 or 4 days early. I think we got like 20 women to sign up.
Yep. I like
and,
that.
And, but when general registration went live, it sold out in a minute and 30 seconds.
You know what? I like that idea, Kenji, a lot more than I like holding spots.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we were talking about the pros and cons of doing each, and we just figured we'll, I think we chose, we're going to hold 12 spots, what we decided to do. We're going to hold 12 spots and open it early. So if those 12 spots didn't sell out, we would still hold those 12 spots for ladies until like 2 weeks before the event.
Right.
But we're also allowing them to sign up early so they didn't have to fight the masses.
Yeah. But, and I mean, obviously you decided to do both and one never kicked in. But I think if it were one or the other, I'd be happier with the early entry. I feel like holding spots that it leaves, you know, people that are ready to register, it leaves them sitting there hoping women don't register.
Right. Yeah. And creating a little bit of animosity.
Right. Exactly.
And, yeah. I can see that.
And I don't know necessarily what the solution is, but that's the first time that I've heard of, you know, allowing early. I mean, people are going to complain no matter what you do, but I feel like it's less provocative and it's less visible. But I like that idea.
I'm just curious, what is your wedge's take on the explosion? Do you guys have any ideas or plans on what you're doing with your events? I mean,
you got to have them. They got to have a tag, right? Or be a member or something.
Well, the PDGA puts like limitations on what you can and can't do. I really wish they would let it be a little more free for all. And I don't think it'd be a problem unless somebody complained. But I'd like, you know, make sure we try and follow. But I think you can only like do 25% or something like that. There's a certain limitation to how many you can give away to members and how many you can do for like, we're thinking maybe we'll do like Bob Kulchuk did and sponsors can get in early.
Right.
You know, if you want to pay extra and sponsor a hole, we'll let you register early.
I hope Jason does that at Mindkill this year because that's my plan.
Doing
sponsorship.
That sponsorships, open it up early for ladies. Do you limit it to members only? I don't think we can actually do that.
You cannot.
Unless it's an X tier.
But we're just talking about it. You know, it's kind of chatter with the board lately. I'm like, we're going to. And sometimes, you know, Jeff holds some TD spots. And we have decided that if we're going to staff it, we don't want to fight the masses. We're going to put ourselves in there.
Right. And I think that's fair.
Right. I think it's morally okay. I don't know if that's okay per the PDGA.
I don't know.
Yeah, as long as you're within the percentages, it's okay.
Okay, yeah. Because, like, I don't want to have to be there at 8 o'clock. I'm going to have all the work we put into it. I'm going to have my name on the list already. You tried the early membership sign-up thing, right? And it kind of backfired a little bit. You guys got too much blowback from it. How'd that go?
Yeah, so we did do an early members registration period several years back, and absolutely, that blew back on us big time. I was here to take most of the fire, so I don't think anybody else got hurt. But one of the ways that we've dealt with it is we've created a couple to it'll turn into a few members-only non-sanctioned events. It's fair to the members for us to, you know, create an event that rewards them for being members.
Right.
it gives members plenty of events. So, you know, if members get frozen out of the Fool's Fest, there's nothing we can do about that. Very little we can do about that. We can put a couple things in. But the fact is, we have enough members to sell out the Pro and Am Day in an hour. That's members.
All right, that's great.
And I think we have 200 memberships sold this year already.
I still haven't got my tag.
Yeah, I'm not the delivery guy. I'm not even the sales guy. But the point is the desire, the consumption out there is absolutely massive.
Yeah. So we're just trying to discuss strategies and what we might, because, you know, it's great. Everybody suggests, oh, yeah, you got to do 2 days and all this. And like, that's a lot more work.
Fuck you.
And, you know, we split them up and do, yeah, that's a whole nother, you're doubling our workload. Right. I mean, we try to do a lot. I think we run like almost a dozen of maybe what 8 sanctioned events, and we do them monthly every month. And
so here's the hot take. There's an explosion. Some of those explosion people need to get drafted and do some of the work.
Uh-huh. Right. And then vetting that and who we think would be doing a good job, or, you know, that's been a little bit trying up here lately.
So that's not easy. You know, we're the people that end up running these clubs don't have, you know, business degrees, generally speaking.
And no, none of us do. We're all learning and kind of doing it as we go. We're not accountants or lawyers. Luckily, right. With a couple of board members that left, we're lawyers, and we still bounce stuff off of them. So
we helpful. Got, you know, our first board had people that, you know, wanted to do things, and, you know, not one of us. Fell into the camp of wanting to recruit new volunteers. And as a matter of fact, like, the current board is not together about recruiting new volunteers either.
No, we try to do it too, to try to make like committee.
It's hard. And I don't know what that.
Yeah, it's, I don't want, to hit. It's, this is not going to sound right, no matter how I say it, mm-hmm. But it's like, everybody says they're going to will do something, but very few actually step up and actually right. get it done.
Well, we have tea projects, you know, that we're looking to accomplish in 2021. We're looking to refurbish all 18 of the existing teas at FDR, and we're looking to put in 9 new ones for the rec course. And, you know, I've been talking to Derek Stoltenberg, who's the board member who's probably taking much of the lead from a board member perspective on this. It's really a project that Bill Newman and I are probably going to spearhead, along with John Garb and Ryan Korzakowski, who are the guys who helped really make Kisco happen.
Right.
And, you know, Derek and I are having this conversation, and he's like, you know, he's saying, you know, we have lots of new volunteers, lots of new talent. You know, we have what we need to get this started. And in the meantime, I'm like, are the Kisco tees shoveled? Because they're not.
We've been pretty good this year, people shoveling our keys. I got to say that. But I'm just curious on how we're going to handle the tournament load. Yep. Like, selling out in a minute and a half, it's great, but it's not great in the same time. You know what I mean? It's just like, I want to give people a chance to want to play, but.
And you also get these weird forces acting on you. Like the go to 2 days thing. You know, it's like, whoa, I'm already volunteering. And by the way, I have another job and a life.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, yeah, it's a great idea. And yeah, I could totally see the point, but we need, you know, I'd love to be able to split the divisions up into 2 different days. So there's 2 1-day events.
Yep. I mean, we basically.
Or tea times and 2-day events. I mean, we could probably mix up both to allow both, but.
We let ourselves get arm twisted into running a 2-day Fool's Fest.
Right, because you guys split the event up into Am Fool's Fest and Pro's Fool's Fest.
And Pro's Fool's Fest, right. Yeah. But, you know, not because we felt like, oh, we desperately need to turn this into a 2-day event.
Right. Yeah, that's where we're at.
It wasn't really our choice. You know, some people have been made to think that it was our choice, but it wasn't our choice. It was people complaining about not being in the event. And none of the people complaining about not being in the event have actually stepped in and, you know, become tournament staff for this event, you know, for that event or for any other event. And I don't mean to be blaming the people, you know, who are asking for more. And I'm not, you can't specifically blame somebody for not, anybody for not stepping up and running events. It's hard.
Oh yeah. We I think we're all from a like-minded point where we all know what the volunteer life is like. It's grueling sometimes.
Right. I mean, and part of it is we don't know how to, we're not effectively recruiting or training our support/replacement.
Right. We're trying to do that here and there and getting people to, step up and try and, have them help at monthlies first, or maybe run a tournament in a box type event and we'll support you. Or, you can run the event through the club. You're the TD. We're the financial backers, so you don't have to worry about any monetary loss. We'll take any loss, but we keep whatever's left over kind of.
Right.
And you run the event and we just get to kind of get a final stamp of approval on your decisions. Very seldom do we do anything we can test.
And that's happening here. We do have guys that, have become committed to running leagues and are showing up and running doubles. Dan Traeger is a newer to the club volunteer.
We have all our league runners too, because technically those are not club events. Those are personally ran by whoever's running them.
Right. Ours vary. Tuesday, Kisco, and Friday, FDR doubles are straight up club events. Deadbeat doubles is a thing that I'm operating independently. It all benefits the club, but I manage it all exclusively outside the club. And Jason Quap has started running a Tuesday thing where he's running a poker league. So I don't mean to overlook, any of those guys. But, it's been a handful of people who have run the Fool's Fest over the – it's not even a handful. It's been three people who run the Fool's Fest over the last decade. And that's a big thing to do. And, I'm sure your events – I mean, the Jammer is a big thing to do.
Yeah. Me and Jeff runs most of it, and we kind of help – I'm his right-hand man. And we've had a few other people run, like, the Battle of Saratoga for us and some other things. But –
And how? I mean, Jeff seems to really embrace and love that.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely does.
So like, I don't.
It's work. We all know it's work, and sometimes it's grueling. We're just like, we want to. Why do?
Do you see a burnout factor there for him, or he just loves it so much that he's going to make it work?
Oh, there's definitely burnout factor. I mean, we all experience it, and we try and be able to talk candidly amongst ourselves sometimes, which is nice,
There are plenty of burnout support groups out there.
Yes. Me that just re-upped for another 3 years on the board of directors.
This would be a great for all the disc golfers.
Right. I'm like, maybe now's the time to find some. I don't know. I just don't think anybody'd be as dedicated as I am to the club. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough. But we're just a lot of stuff going on with the explosion and how to handle it.
Yeah, and I mean,
so influx and give opportunities to those people. I feel bad how many people got left out of the tournament. I'm like, I'm sorry, it sold out that fast.
Yep, it can be brought along. There are clubs out west, clubs down south, that are running four events a month.
Right.
They have the people to do it. They have the structure to do it. And there's a tournament. You go down into Texas, parts of Colorado, parts of Florida, where there's a tournament within 30 miles. Every weekend in fair weather or close to that. And so, sure, they're going to be disappointed about not getting into, one specific B tier or A tier.
Right. It's tough for us too, because, I mean, we're managing, like we're trying to help out at like 15, 20 different courses around here.
Yep. You're spread thin.
A buddy of mine, Bruce, he moved out to Michigan recently. And when he was telling me I guess he basically explained it as Michigan is much more evolved. Disc golf wise,
right.
It's like disc golf is a part. It's a fabric of the culture here. It's like in the town, like they say about what's it, Emporia, where they say the town embraces it. He says other places it's like that. He said New York or this area, the Northeast. He's like it's very new. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's still very early on, and it's
we have some places that are great and all for it, but yeah.
Yeah, unevolved is a better word, Pat, because it's not new, but it is unevolved.
Right.
And we're starting to see, because disc golf, almost any sport, is a ground up event. The best way to get disc golf courses is to have people, just people in their towns, asking their rec board, when are we going to get a disc golf course? That's a thing that happens other places. I heard this sob story from Georgia about this dude who lives in some town where he has to drive 12 miles to play disc golf. Seriously, I'm reading this in like the course he'd signed into the course designers forum, and this was his complaint. And he wanted to know like what's the effective tool for, you know, going to a town meeting and you know,
request. Right. It was a citizen telling the town to make the disc golf course happen because I want, not some person disc golf enthusiast saying, I want to do this. Will you guys support it?
Yeah, begging. Will you please let us spend our money to build a golf course for you?
Right.
And I think we're at least...
We're now getting to the point where we're like, we'll do it for you, but you're paying
for it. Right. Right. So I pitched a course to an executive about a year ago. And, you know, I said, you know, how much money does your entity intend to, you know, pour into this? And he's like, none. And I was like, well, you know, I have a petition with 500 signatures of people that live in your jurisdiction, for lack of a better word.
Right.
And so that their recreation needs are, you know, being underserved as compared with their tax contribution. So these are people, your parks and rec, these are your people. They feel like their parks and rec is not, you know, they're building basketball courts and tennis courts, but they're not basketball players or tennis players. They're disc golfers.
Right. And how much are they spending on a basketball court or a tennis court? We're dropping the hat compared to that.
Dude, we pitched an entity on a course, and the person we were talking to asked, you know, what the budget was. We said it was $40,000. And the person said, that is the cost of one of the three sprinkler heads needed on each of our 18 greens on our public golf course.
What? Sprinkler heads are $40,000? Oh my God.
Yeah.
And that's like all the bells and whistles, $40,000.
That's mostly bells and whistles.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're paying for labor. I mean, if you're paying for labor, I can see
that. Which is the point, which is part of the point, at least. Which is when we pitch a golf course and we talk about the cost of tees, we tend to say they're $250 because that's what we can go to Home Depot and buy all of the materials for it.
Right, right. Yeah, I just did a budget for a course, 9 holes, soup to nuts, you know, one tee, one basket, $7,000.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, so now call anybody you want who installs pavers. Anyone you want. Call 10 people and get bids from all of them.
Yeah, it'd be more. That's charging absolutely no labor. That's all volunteer, no labor.
I guarantee the best you're going to see for a 12 by 6 paver tee pad, someone will do it for about $800.
Right, right.
8 to 12. And I feel like our pitches have to...
It's another sub.
Yeah, it's a... I've been pinged. But yeah, that's specifically where we short it. It's not like we have to build the baskets. We know what the basket's going to cost.
Right.
But for one thing, like, all of our tee pads don't go in some flush soccer field either.
Right. Yeah. You got to dig it out. You know,
elevated.
I built in a 5% of my final cost. I added 5% for possible, you know, rent a
variances,
dingo or something to dig it up if I have to, or plate compactor to rent to do it properly kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I feel like you should be one number in your head ought to be what someone would actually do it for. Like if you had to hire someone.
Oh, way more. Yeah. If I had to price it out, it'd be probably double that at least.
That number should be in it. Double at least. It's probably triple. It's probably triple at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that number should be in there for lots of reasons. For one thing. Now it doesn't mean you have to get that number, right?
Oh, yeah. But maybe for comparison, we should show how much
and
as us as a nonprofit entity wanting to do this.
Right.
It's saving you by letting us do it.
Absolutely. Which don't discount the value of the thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you put your proposal together, there's no you know what you'll pour into it. You know you can get it done. You know you can fundraise. You know you can do all of these other things. because at the end of the day, if, you know, yes or no depends on the cost, at that point, you know, you can go back and say, well, look, we can pour volunteer labor into this, and we can pour donations and fundraising into this, and this is what you'll actually pay. And at the end of the day, they only care about the bottom line. But there's no reason to discount the value of the thing. And then, so if all they have is, you know, $7,000, or even if they, you know, and something like what Wedge has money in the bank right now. I think there's some places that if they said, hey, you can build a disc golf course, we finance it or find a way to finance it. But right. That doesn't mean that we tell that entity that your disc golf course is worth $7,000. Your disc golf is worth $35,000, $40,000, $50,000. And then you get to say, and that is the value of our donation to you. You are getting a, you know.
Right. Yeah, I can totally see that point. Maybe we should try that angle a little bit more. But we have so many. We have opportunities up here that we just can't handle them all. Literally have too many people like coming and approaching. I'm like, sorry, I just can't get to you yet.
Yeah. The other side of that is that, you know, we're coming up on, you know, no shortage of design build. You know, like Adam Harris will come up there and, you know, four figure.
Right. And then, you know, then I try and sometimes tell them, you know, I can put you in professional designers in touch and who I would recommend, who you could reach out to come do this. But you're going to be paying for their services.
Right. And, you know, the other thing that you know, I'd bring up is that Parks and Recs are rich right now. They have a mandate to provide recreation for people. They have budgets to provide recreation for people. And they can't use any of those budgets right now. They have money that they couldn't spend in 2020. They have money that they can't spend in 2021. And I think it's worth chasing that stuff down, too.
Yeah, we got so much stuff going on up here. It's just, it's hard to handle.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Have we gone through three times? Has everybody was that Kenji? Were you the last hole?
Oh, I don't know. That was
that's cool.
Something to talk about. And Jason started that off in flatness. Selling out. And
yeah. Jason so didn't fast. Like not talking, so he connected a static machine for a little while.
Yeah. So Jack, we got 2, 4, 5, 8, 9, 15, 16, 17, 18.
I want 17.
It's one of the questions in the new rules Q&A. My group made a ruling that turned out to be wrong. They called me safe when I was actually OB, so I played from an incorrect lie. Do I get penalized?
It is what it is.
You played from an incorrect lie, but your group made the wrong call. Now you've played from an incorrect lie. You're going to get the penalty for playing an incorrect lie.
You are responsible for playing the course properly. If you disagree with the group and an official is not readily available, play a provisional and have the TD make a ruling later.
Mm-hmm.
If your group called you inbounds and you played it as inbounds and then come to find out afterwards it may have been out of, but it's past that point, right? Well, yeah, I don't know. It'd be weird. It'd be only like if there was a really bad defined OB line. I mean, we've all been to tournaments where it's kind of not clear exactly where.
Right.
You know, but if the group made a call saying, no, we're going to say that is inbounds, you know, we all read whatever the players meeting notes or whatever was given out, they declared it.
I think in real life, the only way this actually plays out is I play from the lie that my group and I have established, and then we never talk about it again.
Right. I mean, you really wouldn't bring it up. I don't think you're, after the fact, you wouldn't get penalized for it.
Well, until this year, the answer used to be, maybe it's up to the TD. You may be penalized for the OB because that is the correct ruling for that throw.
Right.
However, you should not be penalized for having played from an incorrect lie or a misplay, as you played according to your group's ruling. If there is doubt about whether a ruling is correct, you should consider playing a provisional.
Right.
That's what it used to say, and I gave you the rewording, so they were a little more, you know, forceful about it.
So still pretty unclear.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the case, too. Like, if you throw it in, like, a tennis court and your group says, oh, no, that's in bounds, you play it, and then you go back and find out it was out of bounds.
Right.
That's different than if it's, like, on the line and your group says, oh, no, that's in.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of a real-world situation where
it happens.
Something would be not clear enough. We try and make sure those situations don't happen. As TDs and event runners, you know, that's me and Jeff go around and talk about all the little spots. Well, this could happen and that could, you know, and try and
even as designers, Bill and I are you know, looking at putting a Mando on hole 18. And the Mando needs a line so you can determine, you know, when it's been missed, you know, and then there needs to be a rule for, you know, is it drop zone or is it, you know, someplace at the man. So even as designers, we take into consideration what ifs that, that could conceivably never happen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that
limit those situations from actually happening.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of like a spot, like any of our courses where there'd be a weird call that a card would get wrong, not unless they just misunderstood a rule. Can't think of a real world situation where that happened. Which is good. We don't want it to happen.
Exactly. All right. Jason, what hole you want?
Do we do 14?
Yes.
All right. 18?
We might. Yeah. 18. Okay. That's a quiz.
All right. I need that low tide.
All right. Just an update. It's 633, Jack, Jason, Kenji. I used the thesaurus on one-hit wonders. So, for example, if I said frozen water, infant, what one-hit wonder song would that be?
That'd be Ice Ice Baby.
Does everybody understand how that category is going to work?
I did not get it at first, but now I get it.
Question one. Martial arts battling. Jason, martial arts battling.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Those cats was fast as lightning.
Not bad for 20 years before you were even born. That was Jason. Kenji, convert to Asian.
Everybody's turning Japanese. I'm turning Japanese. I really think so.
Correct. Jack, broadcast assassinated the transmission idol.
Video killed the radio star.
Nice. Back to Jason. Toddler has end part.
Baby got back.
You are correct.
That's really sick, Pat. The way you say it, you're going to get fired from this podcast.
Kenji, question five. Bounce about.
Jump around. Right? This is 80s trivia with the House of Pain trivia you have in your podcast, yeah. Jack.
Yep. Jack, Energetic Boulevard. Energetic Boulevard.
I want to rock it down to Energetic Boulevard. Electric Avenue.
You are correct. Jason, negative precipitation. Negative precipitation.
Negative precipitation. Minus rain. I have no idea.
Kenji.
Love me some Blind Melon, no rain.
All right.
Little before Jason's time, you're
Oh, that was only a decade before he was. Okay,
Jason's not that much younger. How old are you, Jason? 30?
36.
36, okay. So yeah. 10 years younger than me. And you're Pat and Jack, you guys are a little older than I am, right?
I'm actually a year younger than you, Kenji. 45.
I think I'm 52. But I'm old enough to ask my wife how old I am.
All right, Kenji, this is your regular question. Amble in the vicinity of the untamed border. Amble in the vicinity of the untamed border.
Amble in the vicinity. That was not clicking.
Amble in the vicinity of the untamed border. Dude.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on this one, Jack.
I can steal it.
Oh, man, it must be for 36-year-olds.
Yeah. It's not clicking.
Jack, do you not have a guess?
Give me a second. I'm still thesaurusing.
All right. Amble in the vicinity of the untamed border.
I'm going to let this one slide to someone who just knows it.
Jason?
Walk on the wild side?
Lou Reed. You are correct.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently,
that's more in our wheelhouse. Yeah.
Lasasso is an old soul.
That was Kenji's original question, right? So we're back to Jack. If you thought Toddler as end part was bad.
No, all right, here we go.
Question
I'm gonna
nine.
Have to scrub the computer.
Boiling adolescent within the municipality. Boiling adolescent within the municipality.
How about hot child in the city?
Boom. You are correct.
Wow. That's a deep pull.
Nice.
That was good.
Who is that?
Jason. Who sings it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't.
It's like Nicky Charles or something like that.
One of the few, for some reason, it's one of the few I don't have artists.
I don't know any other words of that song. Child in the city.
Looking good, looking pretty.
Question 10 is for Jason. Contaminated infatuation. Contaminated infatuation.
I got it.
I got it.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Tainted Love.
Oh, man.
All right, Kenji. Now this one's for you.
Let's do your tag, Jason.
Offbeat Municipality. Offbeat Municipality. That's for Kenji.
Funky Town.
Damn.
Yeah.
You are correct.
All right.
Jack, am I off by one?
No,
I think you're right on
that. No, I think, I'm sorry. Yeah, you were first last night. Okay. Question 12, Jack. Perform to a degree, hip melody. Perform to a degree, hip melody.
Play that funky music.
Wild Cherry, you are correct.
Funny how this makes your mind work.
Jason, question 13. Painful fissured blood pumping organ. Painful fissured blood pumping organ.
It's the scrubbing part for your computer.
Yep.
One more time.
Painful fissured blood pumping organ.
Got it.
Missing a word.
About 10 seconds.
Hurtful of heart. I don't know.
Kenji?
Achy breaky heart?
You are.
Correct. Oh my God.
Your regular question.
It took me a little bit. I just got that when Jason passed. I was like, I'm like, what was it?
So we're on Kenji. Question 14. Okay. Question 14. Myself occupying a position in space, exceptionally provocative. Myself occupying a position in space, exceptionally provocative.
Self-occupying.
Myself occupying a position in space, exceptionally provocative.
Oh, this one's not working.
About 10 seconds. No pressure, but this would tie you with Jack.
Go ahead, Jack. I don't know. Nothing's clicking.
Would you like me to repeat that, Jack?
Yeah, well, you might as well.
Myself occupying a position in space, exceptionally provocative.
Is it I am too sexy?
Right, said Fred.
Yep.
All right, Jack, question 15. Not at any time resort to presenting you skyward. Not at any time resort to presenting you skyward. Not at any time resort to presenting you skyward.
Never going to lift you up.
Final answer?
No, not when you say it like that. Never going to give you up.
Final answer?
I don't know, man. Sure.
You are correct. Jason, bonus point. Concluding temporal length. Concluding temporal length.
Final countdown?
Kenji? I mean, yeah, Kenji. Concluding temporal length. Nothing?
No, like endless wave or something. I don't know. I can't put it to a song, though. I don't know. I don't have anything. Go ahead, Jack.
Jack, what do you got?
I don't have it. Concluding
temporal length.
Since it's a bonus, we'll just, it's one of us spitball it.
Closing time.
I was going to say closing.
Oh, closing time. Okay.
I was going to say closing time, but I was looking for a third word for length. I had to,
temporal length is time.
Yeah, temporal length. Yeah.
Closing.
Right. So I thought temporal length could be time or countdown.
I should have said closing time because I had closing time and I was looking for a third word. In that. So I was separating temporal length into two words.
Aha! My plan worked. All right, Kenji.
What's the point? Give us a point update. Got tags a lot.
Kenji, what tag you have?
I don't know. 20 something.
In third place with 6 points. Kenji in second with 9, and Jack has 12.
All right. One of the few times I get to beat Jason. I gotta take it.
Kenji, we got 2, 4, 5, 8, 9, 15, 16.
Two.
All right, I caught something in editing that I need help with. I think I heard Kenji say we may lose hole 9 in Mind Kill, Jason. Is that something, or did I mishear that?
As far as the actual hole, there was some. I'm actually having discussions with the park to try to deter the rest of the park patrons from going on to hole 9. So we could do it when we have tournaments, but my concern is with the growth of disc golf, having too many conflicts on the orange pin location. So I think I have some ideas that where we won't have to lose the hole, but we can find ways to deter the patrons to not go onto the fairway.
Oh, good. It's a safety issue.
Yeah, it's a safety issue. There, it's when Mike put the course in, there's hardly anybody ever there. But now there's a lot more disc golfers and there's a lot more people going to the park.
Yep.
So it's one of the one of a couple spots where they overlap. So I got some ideas. We're going to go over them in the spring and see what we can do to fix it. But they did clear an alternate fairway for me in case we run into a situation where we have to basically move it.
Quickie.
Because we kind of ran into that in August where I was really concerned when we did the Mind Kill tournament in August that it was too populated.
I think we did okay in August.
Yeah, it was it was okay. We did have to tell people a few times to, you know, what we were doing. They didn't understand what disc golf was.
But you were up that way, though, right? Because you had the check-in right up by that area.
Yeah, yeah. We were set up at hole nine. So we were, and Jess was there because she played, you know, I was there on Saturday because I was playing pro. The Amazon were on Saturday, and she was there
the other day.
Sunday. So normally we wouldn't have that, but also normally we wouldn't have the issues that we run into in August and June because the pool is closed in June and there's not as many people there.
That's cool. All right. That was two.
Glad to hear it because I like that hole.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite holes. So,
Jason, 4, 5, 8, 9, 15.
Let's go with nine.
Niner. What time? Okay. Well, maybe this will be the last one. Let me see what I got really that I want to get to. So I got I'm playing at Gunk's Ice and Fire Fling Doubles Tournament. Anybody have any tournaments coming up? I think the week after is the Ice Bowl, right, Kenji?
Team Challenge going on this weekend and the Ice Bowl next weekend.
Are you, Jason, are you signed up for the Ice Bowl?
No, Jess signed up. So we've been kind of alternating tournaments we want to play. So she's going to play. Oh, cool. That. Yeah.
All right. Kenji, you're in. And Jack, you guys are partners, right?
Kenji and I.
No. I'm lucky. This is one of those situations where I kind of advocated for us getting into the on the pre-reg list because I dropped the ball and forgot to sign up for the ball on time. And Jeff was lucky enough to not have a partner yet, so me and him are going to play him.
I remember you saying that now that you mention it. Okay. Well, that's cool. Kenji, what hole?
Hole three.
That was hole four. How about hole five? Because I think we did three.
Okay, hole five.
Do you flash your lights at oncoming traffic to let them know a cop is up ahead?
Occasionally.
Jack?
Yeah, pretty regularly.
Jason?
Occasionally.
Yeah. Depends on what the car is. No, I'm kidding.
It depends a little bit, too, on like where the cop is. Like,
yeah. It's a speed trap.
Yeah, yeah. If he's in a spot where you're like the bottom of the hill, if he's you in know, a, really if hidden.
Like where it's a gotcha kind of spot, you know, and he's got one of those canvas nets over the top of his car and he's got a bush on his hat. I'm flashing my lights.
All right. Before we go, we got to do one last thing. And that is
disc golf tag update. Disc golf tag.
There were some matches actually that happened.
There have been.
Yeah,
I didn't even look.
I don't think I don't think anything in the top 10 until I post mine and Jason's match. But
should we do a final question for that?
Why are we tied?
No, yeah. No.
There's no final. I'll wager it all. No, I didn't get achy breaky heart, so Kenji deserves it.
That is.
Don't take away my glory, Pat. Not often I get to beat Jason for a tag.
That's awesome, though. So there is an update right now.
There's a few matches that happened. I think there was three.
Give it.
In the top 10?
No.
Oh, nothing in the top 10? Oh, okay. So.
There's a ladies' match this past Sunday and a couple others. I know I approved some matches. That's why.
All right. Well.
And this has been your disc golf tag update.
That's awesome. It's always a slow start. I mean, things really don't get ramped up until at least springtime.
I knew if I used my announcer voice, I'd be immortalized.
I just heard it and I was like, I got it.
And then the fact that I also have everybody's tag from First Track still because I haven't been out to the courses to give them out yet. I want to see a majority of people to Ice Bowl.
Yeah, no, it's. I just figure if I keep it on here, you know, and now I get to use clickies. So
nice.
Just got tag update.
I love that it's Jack saying it. Like, yeah.
Thanks for taking the time, fellas. Sweet up Hudson Valley.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, guys.
It's actually really nice, I'm sure, as you know, to sometimes not be a part of it.
Yeah, I am kind of enjoying being able to take a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
It's more the org. I mean, Jamin, I stepped down from being a captain last year. Jamin stepped up. But I really helped him out a lot, so I wasn't completely, like, away from it.
Yeah.
This year I am completely away. It's a lot less stressful. I did notice that, Jason, you guys got jerseys or hoodies made. Brett was wearing a, what is it, Durala Lehman sweatshirt in that latest video he put up as Christ the King.
The J-Park team had hoodies. The Mindkill team, we had beanies, but.
Okay, I thought you were the Mindkill team, that's right.
Yeah. We're playing Stonykill this weekend, so it's the final match of the season. And up until last match, we were both undefeated and we both lost, so we're both 3-1, so it's going to be a good battle this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Determine if Mind Kill's first or third in the seeding for the finals.
Where's the map?
At Stonykill.
Yep.
Nice course.
I still haven't played Stony. Stony is one of the courses on my list of courses that I'm embarrassed to not have played yet.
Play all the kills.
Yep.
It's got two different nines, which is really nice. The front is kind of technical. You get a lot of birdies. The back's a lot tougher, a little more open. Yeah, it's got a good mix. Fun holes. And it's expanding, hopefully soon. I don't know any other words in that song. Hot child in the